I will go back. As I explained to members, I think it's important, Mr. Bengal said, Comrade Bengal said, we were fine. This is very fine, we didn't know about us, but you should go when we have a small break, just to sign the form and print the thing, right, just for the record. But they are aware, and yesterday agreed, he will submit our names anyway, but still the parliamentary authority. Okay, over then to the meeting. We agreed yesterday that we will first look at Pisa and Bata. And JP I don't have, unfortunately. Kathy and the team will help us. I think Momo and Roy are not coming, is that right? And Roy is not. So basically then, if I went through a Pisa, from what I can see, and this is an issue, we are in 58-2, right? With the first Christian, you haven't got things. So the only issue they raised is the one that you claim to have addressed, or the credit agreement. And that has been addressed. Okay, and I think that is fine with that. No, they're not here. They're not fine with that. Sorry? Yeah, so that's fine. Yeah, but you're fine with it. Yeah, okay, fine. Then the next one will be a 58-2, right? I think Barca also, we haven't come to the instance. It's greater down the road, right? Am I correct? 58. They're also interested in what shareholders, I looked at it earlier. So, and is JSC, is there any issue of the JSC rank that we haven't looked at, that we passed against, what's the name now? The starting is 45, right?
Yes.
So, is there any issue there?
The only issue they had raised was the definition of financial services as a customer. What he would like to suggest is, and line with some of the discussions that you said, is that we come back to those issues in the next session so that we can propose how to deal, for example, with issue transformation and the like.
Alright, so can I highlight that as well? But you must remember we're not going to repeatedly come back.
Sure.
There's also the NGO people. Their job is a 75, right? But still, their job is to oversee what we do. And then people go to court all the time.
So,
you know, he's enough to caught
that definition was something
we
had noticed that he would be coming back
to. Yeah.
So it's
yeah. You know what I would suggest, Holly? If we invite the Constitutional Court to sit here, it would save them time. Right? People go to the Constitutional Court all the time and waste their time. This is the Constitutional Court to sit here this time. It's a new idea. Yeah. No, but it just helps them to understand. First, he claims that he didn't consult, that we rushed the bill. Momo directed me to. Apparently, he was a member of the commission. And Momo told me yesterday who had said that. But they said something about we are rushing to the bill without shooting you, some nonsense like that. Yeah, and really, it's laughable. Right, laughable. My only response to it is laughable. There's such a dishonesty about that. I mean, you can't say this on record. It is utterly dishonest. It's a downright lie. Right? What intelligence does a person have who says, my quoting that told we are rushing through the financial sector as though there's no public scrutiny of physicality, no more visit of me. And the business day yesterday, I didn't see that actually. So I'm just saying, it's downright lie. How do you think people understand it? Why do people lie like that? I'll go and ask you in the question here if you want. Yeah. Okay, so basically, I want to do something else by the while we're at that. You know, we sit in these business class lounges, so you bump into CSU maybe, six years of finance and six years of industry. And it's almost embarrassing for a market, a quality of a member knockout, to be approached by a business to say, you know, we see you now and then on that, I don't know who has got a life, sit there and watch 4 hours. And they will say to you, it is so consultative. You know, and there are people who see this, yeah, representing monopoly chapter is tough to say it, right? So of course people like the teacher will say, yes, even Unity is captured by that business completely, right? Although the teacher was telling me, what choice have we got? Even the Communist Party government, even the Trotskyite government, let alone the Neo-Stalinist, the Communist Party government, what do you think they're going to do? Neo-Stalinist, I said, not Stalinist, the bigger press. What do you think they're going to do? Even if raising the money was present, what say the private sector? Hey, we don't need you, we'll just monopolize you and you'll run. Right? People like me, we are appointed to run some company that I don't have a clue.
That's right.
What?
If it is.
Yeah. You say public enterprise, comrade. Let me tell you a little story to you something. You see, when Joe Snow went, I told the story before, but I can't do it. Joe Snow goes into the company. So the first thing he says to people, yeah, you know, these people are nervous, the old order people. I'm usually have my foot on a ballast ship, and then you see what he is. So I listen to this one, he was about the sun. So Snow knows mainly white, old order people. But it could have been black, too, from Vantage Stone. It's not a race issue around Sumi, which is primarily, but not Sumi. They're all nervous about it. So he says, you see, think about this. Where Fidel Castro came to power? In unexpectedly, right? Even Lenin, I mean, they had no idea they were going to seize power at the time. There's another story, Trotsky described what Lenin said to him, but you got to start. So here he is, Fidel Castro, getting the ragtag leadership there, and he says, what? You, he goes around and appoints people to ministers, and he comes around and he says, who amongst you is an economist, Pune? So Che Guevara puts his hand. He was right to be Minister of Economics. So when they had a tea break, Guevara goes up to Castro and says, go ahead. He's very anxious. You know, Che Guevara being anxious, the hero, this man who was in Congo and Bolivia and so on. So he says, a comrade. He was giving the president his laugh, unlike you. You had a place like Raymond Sutton and Jeremy Crowley. You chose nothing. I don't know what history is, but you were not there.
There are people who are somewhere revolting against
you. That's fine, but it's not about the ability of a minister to leave a country after they come, not even his country, from Argentina. There's a moral lesson there. To go to the Congo and then to die in Bolivia. You had a choice to give your life, unlike John Hurst, you didn't. So really, you got no moral case. Your job is like water on that back, but not for my education, for the moral issue. Now here we are. So here it is, Che Guevara says, but come here, why is it? It's your appointment. Why Minister of Economics? What do I know? He says, no, I ask, who amongst you know of economics? And you put your hand up. He says, no. I didn't think you asked who amongst you an economist. I thought you said, who amongst you a communist? So Che Guevara says, no, Manila appointed me. He didn't do it like that, so hey. If Guevara could run a ministry for a while before he decided to sacrifice his life, you're going to get me. Having said that, my quota is over. Let's move on. We are now where we are, which is section 45. That's my quota. Now it's business. The Presidential Committee must have started 45.1A. Any comments? And there's nobody saying anything, is there? 45.2, yeah. But 45.1 is nothing. But 45.2?
45.2
is a... Ah, yeah, that's fine. You've done it already in any case, right? So we agree. 45.3? Anyone in any case? No? 45.4? Nope. 45.5? 45.6? 45.6, right? I think I've got a 20. All right, okay. 45.7? 45.8. Now, again, there's inconsistency, isn't it, between 43.7 and 45.8, or isn't it? If you look at the 40 comics, if you look at 43.7, right? You say that the minutes must be kept by the CEO, right? It's determined by the CEO, the manner determined by the CEO. Yeah, you but the CEO must ensure that the minutes of each meeting is accepted by the provincial committee, right?
This relates to the governance of the CEO as a whole.
Yeah, that's the first one. Okay, so it's similar one to the reply here, yes. All right, good. 45 degrees, so I may find you've got something to say, yes?
I need to explain this. I need to really understand what you mean when you say determined. Because minutes are minutes, they are based on the outcomes of the meeting, so if you say determined, what do you mean?
I got it. What do you mean by determined?
So it's the practical relations to the internet, how the processes, what is it, how they get realistic, how they distribute, how long they take for those kinds of processes, and the distinction relates to the function of the perception.
Yeah, she answered that question. It's a similar question I raised before, a similar thing like yesterday. Okay.
So it doesn't mean that you will decide how you want to spend the minutes to be saved in relation to the content of their
No, I think that in accordance with any using, that would be a collaborative effort between, or it should be a collaborative work call between the people who are acting these things to show that it's an accurate.
Now, in Gandhi's point, I think since we presume determined, it doesn't mean he or she can put in the minutes what didn't actually occur in the meeting, right?
No.
If it has a separate issue. Yeah, but I think the issue is form. It could be in the form of a table. It could be in the form of an electronic distribution. That's a distribution issue. It could be in the form of bullet points, but as long as it's accurately reflecting, you know. Talking of minutes, I spoke about it yesterday. We have to have the minutes of the committee, yes. Okay. Then can we ask you 46, what is the part of saying? Not agree with. Yeah, they want, is this right? They want measurement for performance of members of the commission. This is very unusual, Bata. But anyway, let's have members respond to that. What Bata is saying is, why don't we have performance? I must say, in this bill from the colleagues, it's quite remarkable that at every turn, the National Treasury's bill, well, our bill now, requires performance management. I think it's very good here. I haven't seen this bill before. You know, where you, every sector requires some sort of performance measure and performance criteria to be established at the outset, and you have to meet it. That's very good. But now this is getting a bit too far, in my view. But let's see what others have to say. Anybody wants to change the part of you? There's nobody interested in taking it, so we're saying no. Right. 47. Is anybody else in 46? No? Right. 47, regulatory strategies. Ah, before we go on, to cause improper detriment. Why do you use the word improper? You can't cause proper detriment.
So the issue here is in if a regulator in performing its duty holds a regulated entity accountable, they might pay a fine, yet we still need to detriment. But it's appropriate detriment as opposed to improper detriment.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So we've been having some comments around this in terms of what we mean by detriment and how that would be applied, and so we can reduce this term as a possible.
Okay.
But can we just propose the word appropriately, not proper
detriment.
Not proper is improper. So in this project, there is an improper to appropriate, not inappropriate. Okay.
I mean, improper is probably more, it's a beautiful comment on it, but improper is probably more appropriate, right? Can I ask you, anybody else who's unhappy with it or fine? I think it's fine having heard you. I'm not wholly convinced, but it's fine. I don't know what I'm saying. Good. All right. No, no, take it at this stage. We can't belabor the point. It's not a meter policy issue. I think we understand what you're saying, and we hope those who need this bill will. Regulatory strategy. Now, here. It's 47, right? Now, what's the point here? Bata's saying, look at page 22 of 180, Mr. Sivambu. You can find it on your cell phone. It's on page 22. 47. The latest version. Here you are saying... Yeah, here you are saying, Bata, that they should, as they've done in the previous bill, right, provide elements or aspects of what supervisory strategy should be. Why do you reject what they say? Okay, do you want to take on it? Go for it.
Actually, this section has already been addressed in
the legal. So you're fine with it? Good. Okay, there's no need to continue. But we as Parliament may decide. We reject them and agree with you, although you now disagree with yourself. It's our decision. We can't let it pass. What do members feel? Otherwise, it means you are legislating. The two of you, you can't allow that. So basically, even if you would draw what you say, it's for us to decide whether we agree with this. Do you understand? Right. So I'm fine with it. What do you want to say, Rocky?
I'm not
clear about what was actually changed, even if it's low, but it doesn't have an issue anymore.
Version of the book. Yeah, well, I couldn't tell. I'm only going by what they said. Obviously, you don't have the previous version of the book, and who required me to have a COA in the book? So fine. There's nothing to go for this. Nobody's actually picking that up. Nor is there one yet. Good. Let's move on. The next one is 48. Delegation.
Yes, my
friend. Ah, sorry, it's you. Okay. Yes, colleague. I'm not colleague, Mr. Mania, sorry. Please, sir. Yeah, obvious.
Just on
you can solve
47.
They are moral issues. Right, fine. Don't
rock stop. Bad one. 475, you say, I mean, the 47.4A2, there's an obligation to invite comments on, comments from the minister, etc. And then in 5, there is an obligation to have a guard for all comments.
The thing I'm a bit lost, which floor are you looking at?
47.
Yeah. Five. Oh, you've gone further down. Fine. Okay, since you've got it, we haven't got there. Fine. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. Deciding whether to adopt a regulatory strategy or an amendment of the regulatory strategy, the provincial authority must have regard to all comments made on the draft. I'm going to focus specifically to place an obligation of provincial authority to consider. Is there any difference between the term have regard for and consider?
Yeah, I wondered about that in a different context. You changed the words. The same issue that arises. You see somewhere else.
I don't think it really does a very substantial difference. I think the intention is, you know, that.
Why do you use so many words? Why do you say consider? Like we always do. It's a drafting class.
We could.
No, we always change. It's fine. It's just that if you use fewer words, it helps a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right. I think
the point is when you see comments and then the obligation on you formally consider.
Yeah.
Okay, what I understood what it means. I must please, especially the next generation of our chairs and committees and so on, I want to just raise this thing. This is something we need to clarify. So that we don't keep discussing this thing. What I understood is different. You think interchangeable. I understood that you consider it's a lighter reflection on what you've got. If you take, if you say, must have regard to, it's a weighty obligation to take into account what you see. That's what I understood, but you think it's interchangeable. Why is it interchangeable? It doesn't make sense to me. Why is it just consider? But we don't have much time to make such trivial amendments. I do think there's a discussion, but nobody seems to agree with me. So what do I care? I say, okay, the majority decide.
You
must
convince us that it's a distinction.
No, because you know, we're on page 37 and so on. Nobody's interested. Why don't I bother? It is a different story to say, consider something and must have regard to all comments. Doesn't the latter imply a heavier obligation on you to seriously reflect on the submissions you receive? I think it does. But now the lawyer himself is saying it, and Mr. Advocate Jenkins, who's a lawyer, is saying nothing. Therefore, look, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not interested. Can we move on? Thank you. That's my view. Who cares what I think? The committee decided. Right. Let's move on. Let's find out.
I'm sorry. We agree with you.
Nobody's interested.
We are not interested. We are literally.
Now, you know, you are exhausted at the end. Once you get there, congratulations, you as my home girl. For the wonderful work you did, you had tribute to Mr. Ducey, Minister Pratt. Can people please note that Makosi Kosa and me and I, because it's I, it's a I, Makosi Kosa and I come from the same town. Right? And I've known her since she was 15 years old. Right? And the reason I think of far is because she influenced me. No, me too, we're very ethnic, as you know, such a show. Don't ask us questions. Right. Now then, where are we? Ah, yes. Fine. My own view for what it's worth is that there is a distinction, and I like what you've done. I prefer this one than consider, because it's more serious. But however, you yourself is interchangeable, so it's fine by me. Let's move on. I want to say something earlier, please. Let's go back to and matters which it should have regard to in performing those functions. That is 47.2b sub 2. Are we all there? 47b is sub 2. The matters to which it should have regard to. Is there too necessary there? Why can't you say simply the matters to which it should have regard in performing those functions? The two is unnecessary, right?
Yes, I think we could, that could be deleted.
Thank you. Right. Then, do we define administrative action at the beginning? Because it says here under 3, Romans 3, suppose to administrative action. Oh, sorry. No, that's one of the trivial grammatical ones, to drop the she agrees. Right? The other one is an issue of administrative action. Suddenly we encounter this term, right? And it's there in the front, right? Yeah, okay, I just struck me now. Okay, fine, let's go on to the next one under C. You said the aim at originally consistency with relevant international principles, you've changed that to give effect to section 34.4, which refers to the international standard, right? So is that a simplification issue? Once again, whoever done this to me, I really think must compliment you. I also think members who are newer here, this is the first time I've come across a bill which actually has checking. And let me suggest, I'm going to raise this, really, all committees should have this thing. I don't know the old order was, the time you used to have a full pages here and you have to turn the pages and look and cross. This thing was requested Sunday in 2005 when Jeff Deutsch was still out there. 11 years later, I want to congratulate you, Omo, and your team. You introduced it. What? But in your committee, you had second. Oh, there we are. It's got a norm now. There is the Pathfinder, Sunday. Right? So let's go on to section 48, right? Any things that 48 you want to raise? Ah, let me raise something I raised yesterday. The assign and refer. You see, you say assign on the previous page. That's why I remember reading this. And so look at 42B, Roman numeral 7. 42B, Roman numeral 7. Or is it 8? You say any other matter assigned in terms of a financial sector law, right? Now here you're saying, delegate any power or duty referred. Is it referred or assigned? In this case, it's more than assigned, it's referred. Is that correct? Referred.
What
do you mean? If I'm talking about assignment and referral, there are two different things in law, right, Advocate James?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember I highlighted my problem. I don't know the meeting now. If I can find why I ring this, why must I waste your time? So I said I'll find out why and I discovered why. Last night. I did my homework, see? Sorry? I don't know if you were trying to respond to me. I also cooked last time, by the way, Russia. But leave it aside. Yes, Mr. Lee.
I think that referred is correct here because it says you can either refer to any section or you could have as a plan in any section.
No, refer to is a better word. Okay. But legal, I know we had fights in municipal legislation about referrals, assignments, and we had to do the corrections. But hey, maybe it's not relevant here. Can you have Jenny the advocate?
In 48.1a, the use of refer, it's with the cross reference. It's sort of showing where the powers that are talked about are described. So, refer to
that point you're making. There's something consistent. Okay, Mr. Jacob, you kind of...
Yeah,
good, let's move on. So, according to 2B, you can delegate any power, right, or duty assigned, right, delegate, except the power to delegate contained in this subsection. Why is that? Just remind me. I'm sure you're making sense, but I can't get it.
So it's the power of delegation as opposed to other powers that can be delegated. So a licensing power, for example, you can delegate that decision.
Yeah.
But you can't delegate, I can't give Joanne the authority to make delegations on my part.
Oh, yes, yeah, so you can't. That's why that means that, yeah. Okay. Is there anything else on 48? Does any member have any comment on 48? Right. You know, Pulek, these guys refuse to cooperate with your NEP, right? And now you are mollycoddling your day. What are you anticipating for 2019? This is worrying. You're not supposed to talk to that guy, okay?
So the upbeat says that the Indonesian region, the ANC, is even better than the NLM.
So that's why he's smiling. Well, is that a reason for you to smile? And laugh. And Molly Skyline and Hogma, two nods with it. I think so. Can you sit between these two? Because of the...
Even with your wishes.
What?
What did you say?
He's all done with the guy. He's supposed to talk to him.
again, you deliberately haven't specified what you need to consider. And that's taking into account that delegation, as it relates to the things that these were raised previously, delegation is different from an assignment to the power. If you assign the power, that's no longer your responsibility.
Yeah.
But the delegation is still your responsibility. So that what that means is that if, even where power has been delegated, for example, from the creation authority to the conduct authority, the creation authority can't just look the other way. It would still be needed to have very strong oversight in a way of how those powers are being exercised. And so we believe that you are, with that in mind, that there, because you want an accessibility and because there is this other checks and balances anyway, we believe that that's sufficient.
Yeah, I think most of us who are experienced in legislation will know the difference between delegation and assignment. I'm going to tell you just some clarity. But still answering the question. The question that I'm asking, and I hope members will agree with me, is you don't want the prudential authority unduly imposing delegations on the product authority. Now what you're going to say to me legally, if somebody delegates to you, you are free to say no. Right? But what we want is the conduct authority to represent, I mean it's nice, they must cooperate, but the conduct authority must have the focus on the financial customer, the poor and so on. What happens in the UK may be okay there, because they're an advanced economy and sophisticated compared to us, literate society, right? Because they're a developed country. We are. And we want, it is also about the credit regulator. We want the conduct authority to be far more effective, frankly, than the FSC has been. But I'm not whether it's been a different subject. But I just wanted, before we come to time, can I just read to you what we said in our report? And try to air the report, all of you have copies. It says a limited twin peaks model in the UK. The UK model is not a strict twin peaks model. A focus on systemic stability seems to have been an overriding factor in setting up the new regulatory architecture. We're a bit more nuanced, right? Because we talk about financial inclusion, consent for the customer, that's a plus. The Prudential Authority was therefore given a much more focused mandate, that's in the UK. And prudentiality regulates the banks and the insurers. The Conduct Authority has a much broader set of responsibilities, including conduct regulation of all financial institutions and the bunch of names. And prudential regulation, remember, for all non-pristine financial institutions, as we said, right? The number of firms that a conduct authority regulates from a prudential perspective, now this is the point, those of us who are there will remember. The number of firms the conduct authority regulates, right, from a prudential perspective, actually makes it the largest prudential regulator in Europe. So that conduct authority is interestingly the largest prudential authority in the whole of Europe, right? The number of firms, this approach to Twin Peaks carry the risk of diluting the focus of conduct regulation. Now, do you see colleagues who are in the UK? This came up even by the UK people we saw, right? The UK structure may, over the longer term, compromise, they said. Mama, are you listening? They compromise the prudential and conduct framework. If the conduct authority is not equipped to monitor and address both prudential and conduct risk adequately. But then we asked about the South African model, is it really a Twin Peaks model after all, blah, 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 that you know. But here's a paragraph that's consistent with what you say. But that is why I'm saying, I don't know, let's just hear the colleagues, right? Mama will come to you. Hand your hand up. The question I'm asking is, why not being over-regulatory, comrades, colleagues? Do we not want to, in some form or another, where the minister might regulate or in some form, have some loose framework for the delegation of powers from prudential authority to financial sector product authority? Handy? Mr. Shavambo?
The conduct authority and the prudential authority is only resides in the framework.
No.
And most of the people who work in the conduct authority, are they not appointed from the prudential authority?
No.
No, I think what I said there, she's right in this sense, that they are people who came from, not the conduct authority, that's the point. They came from there, a lot of them.
You see where the difference lies. here we also have a recent issue of the game where the location of the MCR is something else, isn't it? It's a slightly different coming. And now the game raises an issue that we might consider how we deal with conduct in an environment of a developmental state. It's a very interesting issue that, but I like this flexibility. We have a different challenge of building that synergy and relationship that was not there. So how are we going to do it? It will be the regulations and the guidelines that are provided. Not with that being the speaking my own things. I'm building that relationship. It's not going to be an easy one okay, moving forward. So it's how are you going to put guidelines in the relationship between the two institutions that will be the satisfied. So that flexibility maybe will allow so we'll look at the change,
but it to me
the way
it's
been
that's
not.
Okay, Siobhan
Clark? Thank you, Chair. In the last meeting, I've not been attending all the meetings now, but in the last meeting that I attended with the Bill of Reflection on the Financial Sector Regulation B, I was pointed to the fact that we are not dealing with the team process. But we are engaged in financial regulation. The other game is not proposing a team process. The UK system is not team. I think that is what was classified. When the Bank of England came out categorically here, it is not team. They've got a regulatory authority, like the Prudential Regulatory Authority. They've got a conduct authority. They've got a financial ombudsman. We went to the offices of the ombudsman. Next to where we were. And the manner in which this bill is going to come in is that once you have a prudential authority, or once you have a conduct authority, or once you have an ombuds council, and we leave the credit regulatory authority to exist in the manner in which it has been existing, and we then leave the Financial Intelligence Center, which deals with financial crimes, exists as a corporate entity as well. That is not a simple process. I think that is one thing that we need to clarify in the final edition of the bill, and then define the functions of each authority clearly, so that it doesn't cross the borders in terms of issues. Because I don't know, like where
what the is done. A lot of that work. We need also just to carry this. Because I know, look, you're a whip of a small party, and we are slightly sympathetic. But the truth is, nobody, whether it's Sandy or me, I have not been in continuing meetings. I don't ask people what happened. I pick up. So if you look at the minutes of the meetings, to the extent the minutes are useful at all, you will pick up things. Antonia's predecessor, Bridget, had done some work, you can read it. But all the issues you said, we've covered. We've decided to use the word synthesis in the limited sense. It's like, a label, if you want to call it that. We agree with you. In fact, if you look at our report, which you took part in the study tour of, it says the same thing. If you read page 5A, presumably you read it last night, you'll know. So I ask rule that there's nothing to respond to in the sector slide. We've covered that ground. We're very far down the road, I think. I want to go back a number of hours. But I'm going to send it to the chief. I want the chief to reply to the DA about this thing. I don't know how it's been on the floor. But the media can help us.
I don't get a sense that is the case.
Well, I'm trying to
be just keep it
there. Yeah, fine. Okay. Quickly, I'll give you some medicine. Otherwise, you leave the station. You won't come back. You'll say, what's the point?
Under the concluding remarks of the report.
Sorry, under?
The concluding remarks.
What does it say?
Of the report of study, so it says that even where the context and aspects of the financial system are different in the UK, there were many valuable lessons to the processing of the proposed South African two-tier model. There is still insistence on that.
No, that's one way. It's putting inverted commas.
Yeah, but I mean, the problematic
fine. We heard you that the EFF position has support because we think it's only...
That what then becomes important is when we're defining the functions of each regulatory authority or conduct authority, let's make sure that none of Buddha would overlap in function.
No, we agree there.
That would be so that we have Buddhists know
what is the function.
Right.
Unlike Honorable Sobera, she used to say, because she came from a family that is not run by the AHC.
Okay, fine. The only new thing you said is that you say the municipality is not run by AHC. I don't know how relevant, I'm going to take you find out for us how relevant that is to what is running the bus. Mr. Mayor, would you like to say something on this?
I thought that you were going to it is one of the substantive issues I raised.
Yeah, but
the third enforcement issue, which I still need to do.
What's the third enforcement?
Well, the
one that we're coming back to that. We asked the work to be done. Look, if you've done the work, you can table it. You can write something, give it to us. It's fine. I give it to Antonio, he can look at it and comment as well. We'll be coming back to that.
My question yesterday.
Sandy, you are doing so well. Makuri, I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
Apart from you, the real other star in this committee is Pani. She's been coming to meetings, she's participating usefully, she's hitting me very little. And she's been fantastic. She was in the conference last Thursday. The other person that impresses me, but you know, new rooms, it's the season. On time, always there, SMSing us to say where's the meeting and so on. Fine. And hopefully the jury is still out. No. Right. Mr. Maynard, by the way, there is something interesting, right? Members who went on study tour, who might not have been here because it's not disclosed, what happened was, he says that Andrew, has come up with the idea that in the UK, for what it's worth, not that we're going to imitate the UK, but the other financial capital of the world. And you know, it's like looking at them and growing out of their lesson. What are useful and saying, hey, that's a bit of nonsense, right? So this thing, what I said to him, you bring the position here now. Tracy will do some work also. And Antonio Marosal. Oh, by the way, Marosal is not here because he's not well. And we're getting a new person joining us because Sean Muller has left. Her name is Gloria Nguni, right? She'll be here from shooting. Right. Yeah, now do you respond to the issue?
Whatever you call it, I mean, it's never going to act as a system.
Yeah.
But our key issue was that, yes, we selected good evidential regulation, and that function was split. But we wanted to create two dedicated regulators, one each for each of the dedicated function. So in Prudential we've got the staff, okay, the Prudential Authority, and the Market Conduct Authority. We focus on market conduct. And part of the reason was that we felt your Prudential regulators always prioritize Prudential and ignore market conduct. And the part of the central banker is good of Prudential. But
you know, Fuller and so on. You speak. I mean, I'm not some sort of policeman. Right? That's not my stuff. You can see the way people hit with me. I don't really care. They like to do that. But talk so loudly, it's not acceptable. You're going to talk and whisper, it's fine. It's nothing human about talking. I don't have a problem with people talking, but it's saying too loud. But voice being loud like mine. Okay.
I was saying that while the central banker is loud when it comes to market conduct.
You wouldn't understand what they're saying anyway, but you can go sit next to
them.
David's not speaking loudly. Look, David's not being silly, yeah? Right, let's go on.
So I'm saying, so we felt there needs to be two dedicated regulations and enforced coordination. Now, having said that,
this is a very important thing. We need some guidance, right? What do you do now? Very crucial, yeah.
We will need to be able to allow assign more delegation from one to the other, because best intention, the Reserve Bank has had to put in place expertise to look at pensions on the potential side. I was taking from FSB one, for example, East End, and then there's of course market conduct issues. But it may well be that initially both the potential and market conduct remains with the market conduct authority, because it's the FSB that becomes market conduct authority. Until such time as the prudential regulation is put into effect. Now, we don't want to legislate that. I think this is a discussion, and you're right, what we also don't want is that it becomes a permanent delegation, in the sense that the conduct authority then gets so much prudential work that they really, your concern, that they don't focus on conduct. So we do want these to be settled. That's where we are different from the UK. But I think we do need applause, particularly in the initial years. And that's why we're not taking a pure approach. We're not saying it's good for the sake of it, and both must be pure prudential and pure market conduct. That would be nice, but the world's not so pure, so then we also allow for some realism. And that's why I say, I think, on the principles book, the point is, even getting back to the object of the book, really the two focus areas are prudential, and equal financial stability, and market conduct. As you know, financial integrity, in a sense, dealt with through the FIC code. And the FIC, in a sense, doesn't deal only with the financial sector. So that's why when it comes to performance, it delegates that function perhaps, or makes the responsibility for money laundering currently, for example, the SAR, when it comes to banks and so on. But it's a different book. So I think the focus should be on the prudential responsibility and the market conduct, which is what we're trying to address here. And I think the delegation section is quite critical, especially for the issue.
All right, but can I suggest going forward for now, actually, members agree? Ideally, if I had my own way, if the majority agreed, one would say something, I don't know how, I put it in elegance here, something like any power, blah, 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 really delegated within a framework defined by the minister or regulated by the minister or something, so that you allow a certain measure of flexibility, and then we put in our report, and so we have something like, we note clause, what is it, 48.4, but we have reservations about what does it mean in practice. In the early phases, yes, we accept it. We didn't say at the beginning the stuff that we raised in the study tour, right? That our model is not a pure percentage model and all that. We were saying that sort of thing, Antonio, at the beginning, right into the draft. But I would like us to leave this in abeyance for now, if members agree, to come back to it in the next round. But you consider something like a framework, because then it doesn't give the executive too much latitude, and the committee can monitor what is happening. But if I think unreasonable and over-prescriptive, then I'm prepared to forego it. But let's see what members think down the road. That's what I'm simply saying. What do you think? You will say
nothing? No, I agree.
You agree. So we come back to this with the likelihood that we'll agree with some form. Yes, you want to say something?
So, I mean, I think through the lifetime of the two regulators, there will be very different circumstances that might lead to one delegating to the other.
Yeah.
And I think, for instance, if one of the committee considers the insurance bill, we should use the microinsurance framework for the first one. So a lot of the new microinsurers that will come in will be sort of in an incubation phase. And yes, they have financial requirements, but a lot of conduct requirements as well. And the thinking was that we could probably negotiate with the political authority to say, can we actually look after the conduct authority through the incubation phase to actually play a developmental role in supporting. So that would be one example. I mean, we're also thinking about a new regulatory framework for small parlors, which will also have developmental implications. But it might be appropriate to reason with the conduct regulator for a bit, because by our very nature, we are all developmental as central bankers. So I think those are just examples. So I think it would be really difficult to actually provide a framework in which you can do that. And I think also when things about access products, new products, how do you actually deal with it? So it's very difficult sometimes also to draw a very dark line between prudential and conduct. So sometimes there's also the little grey areas, which, and I think that's fine, because the further wording as it is, noting your comments, because we would like to as in the financial services board, and saying that the conduct authority won't be
right.
Pardon?
I just want to ask a question from
people
who come to the
you don't find the conventional authors dealing with my new issues that could have been dealt by the conduct of the law. Because I suspect there will be a lot of organizations that will have to look at them. And to me, there is nothing that might be affected by the conventional authors. I suspect there is something there.
And actually, it's the reverse of preoccupying me. If Tandy's right, he's dealing with the one side of the coin. The other side is, well, I'm not concerning me, Tandy.
I'm taking your point.
No, no, you're raising a good question, as opposed to the subject that's leading to if what I see is what you're saying is accurate. It's the other way, Tandy. The question I would like to ask them is, will the conduct authority be able to do prudential work? Because that's far more technical in some sense, if I'm right. Yeah? The other way around, because you can delegate from the prudential to the conduct authority. Right? But the question really is, we are not saying it's going to be easy to do a framework, my friend. We are not even saying necessarily, there are options where we say, in a way that's sensitive to the important respective roles of the conduct and prudential authority. In other words, what I think the committee is trying to do, if members can help us to actually go forward, is to say, we recognize the delegations, no one questioning us. We recognize even the point you're making was made in the UK to us as well. It's not really clear where prudential ends the conduct. Remember, prudential ends the conduct again. I think we agree on that point. But what we're saying is, and we recognize they are fluctuating for this one. And we recognize that what you may need now in the interim period, immediate period, much more than 5 years down the road, different. However, we're saying that we don't want the conduct authority to be unduly burdened with prudential issues at the expense of doing its conduct work. Bearing in mind that we're a developing country and our authorities don't necessarily have the requisite skills and certainly not commensurate with the UK. So they can do certain things and we can't. So all I'm saying is, in some form or another, comrades, colleagues, we're not helped to settle this matter. Whether you use a framework or whether you use something like even tightening the clause, we need to come back to this clause. Now having said that, Momo Yagi and the first Unashi, Kathy.
Answer the first question, I think, because I think it's a fair question. The FSB currently doesn't market conduct. Okay. That's the change. They've begun to prepare and so on to do that. So there will be a capacity issue initially. The new conduct authority will have to build that capacity to look at conduct. And yes, like the UK, most of the companies that you have are small businesses, okay? And I think there are developmental issues that you want to have. They are also playing this space, and how are they dealt with? So Nati, I know, wants to talk something about prudential, but these may not be prudentially very significant. But yet, that needs to be done. They do need to deliver on their promises that they made to their customers. They too need to, so the prudential issue does come up. But yeah, you know, I think this reform, you know, is quite revolutionary. You know, I often say to forget that the initial presentations made, many even of the institutions do not like the fact that we are pushing market conduct. We're not used to it. Banks are not used to it. That's the reality. This is a new imposition on banks. Okay. They're going to have to get used to it. But the way it's going to be implemented, and this I would see as the role certainly of this committee, is one of those parts. I would see certainly looking at what progress should be made. Because in a way we should be coming back to you and saying over the next 5 years, this is what we see in year one, this is what we see in year two, this is how the conduct of policy will develop, etc. And once we get some certainty over the legislation, we can really start, some work is going on, but really start looking at this much more seriously about what happens initially. And that's something that we're going to have to see. And in terms of the financial sector, guys would have to realize that laws are changing so often. that we do need to come to an annual book, which then deals with the difficulties that we face as we come along. But I don't think this is something that we can just cast in stone. I think now we are trying to get to a big vision and yet have an enabling mechanism for the transition. And it's just the real problems that we face for who does what.
I noticed, yeah, you have just different speakers to answer the earlier question. You can follow up.
Okay, very brief check. Just on your concern around the potential of a burdening of fiscal potential. So if you look at the scope of the potential authorities of financial conglomerates, large banks, large insurers, market infrastructure, security service providers, and so on, I don't think there's any way, given the significant importance of those types of financial institutions, that will be delegating those kind of functions. But to Joanne's point, there are potentially relevant terms, but where the balance of conduct issues versus prudential issues is that prudential issues are much more reduced or much more minimal. Even if there are prudential requirements, you find that they are straightforward, basic requirements that don't really require a lot of your prudential capacity that you need in the TA to be relegated in FISCA if you delegate. But where it is actually so important for FISCA given their conduct role, for the conduct issues that are there, for them to be much more closer to those concerns and the potential of those. But also the conduct of being around in development, so for example, micro-insurance, cooperative financial institutions. So really basic institutions where there are people saving, but the kind of general requirements that we actually have on them is much more basic than what we have on the large scale. Where actually, you can even argue that the kind of expertise and approach to life that a prudential authority, a central bank, is the risk-based and all of that, where they are for, might actually not be suitable for a basic startup cooperative financial institution, because their approach might be different to what you apply. So I think that's the kind of motivation behind this. Not really that there, but there's a point where suddenly the central authority is delegating part of what it needs to do, and then the conduct authority is doing our stuff and not able to do that.
But actually, we're not, you provided us a framework, a set of criteria, the balance. It is really nice words. What do you say? The balance of the activity which is established. Now, talk about conduct. You actually provided two elements of framework. Use the word framework loosely. But anyway, I like what you said. If you could just read that four words or five words and add it to that post, that would be the very least. Okay, my friend, what's your name again from the FSB? You want to see Kathy wants to come in. Okay, go for it, please.
I think we would, I mean, even on an example that we've given, the course to try to hard code it, because that might be, it might work in this particular example, then that is primarily the way to conduct through to prudential is not easy. But it might not work in another example. Having said that, I think we definitely agree with the risk that you're presenting, and that was based on having a list of this model or version of the model in the first place. So can we, if we could explore, and we can come back to
Dr. Yeah. Okay, fine. Over to Tandy and then
Makosi.
Makosi?
I'm actually at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I know, we know.
From participating as much as I would.
Yeah, obviously.
Because I'm not sure whether Norman and you have presented to the committee, maybe a high level institutional arrangement architecture, doesn't give us a sense of what's going to happen practically. Because it's one thing to consider a deal and, you know, until it's all finalization, and taking into account the real operational measures that may compromise efficiency. And the reason why that bothers me a bit is because I don't think that, obviously, the Reserve Bank will have no expectation whatsoever over future funds, you know, as a whole, or even the insurance companies or whatever, because they've been largely been focused on the banking sector. And your pension fund, your FSB, will probably not necessarily the, there would be that shock, you know, because that institution has never, was not necessarily dealing with that. And it's important for us, when we are considering this issue, that at least we get a feel of how it looks, because I'm envisaging a situation that is going to be a massive migration of skills, of course. You will have some that may be coming from FSB and those that will be coming, I'm not using FSB and others that thing, primarily, but you will have master skills that will be going that side as well. You know, and again, we also need that high level framework in my view, architecture, because we also need you to see, because the humanities are also different specialized arrangements, but in my head, anyway, I'm just thinking on top of my head, there is no way that you can simply have an institutional arrangement that should be lumping, you know, your pension sector with pensions, and using the same system as your pension funds, for example, and even the standards and procedures that you would normally use with the bank may not necessarily be compatible with the pension fund or with the insurance fund in the insurance industry. Now, it's very important for us so that when we are processing this information, we process it from a very informed perspective, and we are able to contextualize it. Because in as much as we are saying this is going, this is the government's issue, blah, 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 this is going to have a very severe shock to both systems, and one would have appreciated, I'm not sure if you've already done it, but at least process goes parallel with that, because it's also about us as legislators. We need you to understand what is the effect of our own legislative decisions on the operational, the practical operational issues, you know. And sure, that could be my key. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, I read this thing last night, but I'm not sure if I can actually have the picture.
Okay. Basically, remember this much before, the National Institute provided us with a slide at the beginning, the overview and the application. Also in this report, it's done partly to raw evidence help. But I think where you would be very helpful is that, you know, the point is that even those of us, obviously as a chair, I have to, you know, look at the bill more carefully than the back page of the desk, right? And of course, yourself is an extremely busy chair in another committee. So her questions are entirely legitimate. What I want to suggest, of course, is the agreement, is, you see, if you can give us one of those exhibit with Roy, let it be where you can, presumably Roy Momo was here, at the outset, because he gave us a nice thing, it's there somewhere, but look, we said to him, we have a million documents running around, right? So if you can bring one of those next week, Tuesday, right? Because then what you can do is, it's helpful, I think it's absolutely right to say that you can look at the word of the text, but it's always useful to see where things fall in. Like, it also helps us, maybe it's in America, although you're not going to cover ground that's been covered before, but he's right, because you have left things where they credit that you need to put them and so on. So what you might want to do is the ones that you gave us in earlier times. You started in May last year, you did what you asked for, organogram, architecture, the architect, architecture. You did it again two or three or four times now. But now what you want to do maybe is look at that and see whether it comes with the bubble. And be sensitive to the issues members have raised, is to actually make that more contingent in the current circumstances, moving from user friendly. So you can actually try to answer some of the questions people have been raising for the last 3 sittings. So let's keep what we had and do what Makosi said. So we add to it and so on. So that it's one page, in a nice like diagram explaining and so on. So you've got to choose to do it. How about that, Patty and Tim?
I think that's very doable. I was just questioning whether you would like us to include the transitional, in other words, how we're getting there.
Yeah,
so
that would be helpful.
The
implications
related to how that's going to happen in practice.
Yeah.
So we can talk you through that and maybe talk around some of the organizational.
Yeah, you should hear it again, Marcus, but we have been dealing with transitional provisions. We look at themes and so on.
Yes.
And we keep them coming back to you from greater detail. But if we can have that now, it helps us with questions like the ones we've been raising here. So I think what Tosafot is saying is very useful. The thing I'm supposed to say is, we say yes to those things. Basically, to summarize one, that we agree there should be a delegation. Lucas covered the summary, right? I'm not going to bore you. But the one thing we are saying is, using the word memorandum loosely, we take into account, can you hear me?
Joanne.
We take into account what she's saying, right? But Lucas has been very helpful. She's in saying it can be done if we don't use the word framework, whatever we're doing. At the very least, what we're going to seek to do here is to say something like, bearing in mind the need to retain the specific or distinct important roles of each of these authorities. Something like that is the least we can do, and then say, and will be regulated by the minister as necessary, whatever. Right, having said that, let me move on to 5. On 5A, anything? 5B is the same question. Am I correct? You need to say, you are going to retain presidential authority, presidential committee, or the CEO in this case as well. Oh, this is a normal standard club, right?
Okay.
6, suffix. So the sub. This has been there since 1994, right? You know, great, you know, fun, yeah.
Actually, I have more general question.
Yes.
He then adds in powers and duties.
Yeah.
The powers and duties are no way to set out in this action. I need objectives and functions on it. So they imply powers and duties. Correct. There's no need to actually define those powers and duties.
Okay, we'll explain. I think Jenny would be better to explain that. Fine. Okay, thank you. I think that's straight for standard thing, right? I didn't understand this. Please, can you explain? You want to explain. Why is this here? Why was it put in now in this case? Yeah.
Because the story has been run alongside the various other sectoral laws that are currently in place, and there are, in some of those laws, delegation powers given as well, and we're not wanting to interfere with those delegation powers because we have the overriding override provision.
But disclosure of interest, 49. Anything from anybody else? No, nope, they go to 54 there. 49.1. Right. 49.2. 49.3.
Chairman.
Yep.
Right. I'm not sure that it's 49.3.
Yeah.
In particular, but in 49.3, it lays out the whole the conflict of interest needs to be declared. Okay, and that unless there's agreement that it's not material. But what is not dealt with, and that's why I'm not sure whether it's in 3, it needs to go into 3, or it could go elsewhere within 49. Within the clause, it would be an additional clause act to deal with non-disclosure that has occurred. In other words, the committee meets, there's a disclosure that should have been made, it wasn't made, makes decisions, non-disclosure is discovered. What then are the consequences, not just for the person who didn't disclose, but for the decisions made?
Yeah, I've been asked before, I know the answer, but I'll leave the way. It's been asked, I don't think you shouldn't ask it, but we've come across it before. No, yeah, well, do you want to reply to this, or I shall tell them what you've told me before? Not you, your kid, you said. No, you did. You could have.
Because you're not going to depend on the rules of the election itself. It's very involved. But if you don't do that, it's material, it could be to avoid abolition or avoid a bill decision. not just about the individual. It will depend on the circumstances. So it's very difficult actually to formulate, in my view, a blanket. The same supply chain management, so if you don't disclose, it's challengeable by the person who is affected by the decision. So if one wants to push in there, the consequences, then one would also think the consequences of the person who didn't disclose, which would be, depending on the level of that person, it might be a disciplinary offense or disciplinary offense. One can put that in there. It's implied in terms of your policy that you deal with for the organization itself. That being said, if you put the new regulations for supply chain management, this may be completely different, but it brings the notion of the adjudication, which is there, one can, certain things can be gave away by allowing the next person. But there may be quite a different...
No, I'll tell you what, let me try, right? Can I just try to tell you what the last lawyer just said? Remember, I've been here for 7 years. Previously, what the lawyer said, I'm saying either you or the partner, the partner's lawyer had said, is if you do not disclose, and then subsequently found that you have a conflict of interest, you will then be tackled by the rules of conduct, and so you get expelled or dismissed or heavily fined. However, the consequence of the action is null and void, and your rival is likely to get to court to say, this will be sat in a committee where his hot wife had a business interest, and she got the tender. Then it's put forth and the court nullifies it. So what we've been told before by lawyers is that the consequences are covered in ordinary law. The right to recourse of people who lost out, or any member of the public, or another member of the committee. Hey, this guy didn't disclose. They also have to act against that person. And I don't know where that's covered, but it's said ordinary law covers it. So like you're asking, if somebody commits a crime, what's going to happen? You don't cover it, you have a normal criminal legislation that applies. That's the reply we've answered now. It's about the first time in 13, well, how many years I'm here? 98 now. That this has come up. And that's your previous reply. Am I correct or not? That's what you've got to me. Can you call me as a just Karim? Whether you're happy with that or not, it's fine. Can you help us as a lawyer?
Well, I would certainly agree with what advocate Jenkins has said, and I think you could consider, you know, might there be some additional wording that we could propose.
But legally it's covered, yeah, but it's not only doing what you're doing, what you're suggesting, which I'm moving towards anyway, but say what you're saying.
And also suggesting, in clause 281 dealing with regulations and guidelines, we've also provided that the minister will issue guidelines relating to the disclosure of material interest. So we could look at, you know, what
it's covered there, but not maybe want to do it.
Could you want to
specify
something there?
You know, but you have to do it everywhere. You know what I'm trying to say? There's non-disclosure everywhere. So you have a genetic clause, right? Yes, but it should apply the same, whether it's a big body or small body. Yes, how about Jenny and Joanne?
What might help is that, so if you read this together with clause 46, which speaks to the duties of the... And read it to 49, actually the disclosure requirement is sort of part of your duties, and what, and this, if you contravene that duties, it's a criminal offence that's written into the law. So there's sort of a resource or a consequence for the person that fails to disclose. And I think
so
that would be able to make a difference. That is part of the
issue. You want something there, what the other members do? Who do they want to say something? Who is calling? You can speak in other language.
I understand exactly what's been said. So it's fine. My only concern would be if the disclosure has been discovered.
Nothing happens.
No, not so much that nothing happens, but the agreed party is not made aware of this. That agreed party might not be a member of the
council. Yeah, yes.
And so the disciplinary action may well be taken against within the organization, against the one who didn't disclose, but the agreed party will get them. Then can't take the common law action that you
correctly
described.
Look at this. Chair, the law, honourable is just regarding something to me. I'm not sure this, 49-2, whether it's been clarified what is meant by seeing as a table. you know, because as soon as the chicken came in, some soul, why and so ambiguous, you know. It came as could be as soon as possible. I don't know. I don't know what sort of parameters I'm waiting on here.
Please, sorry. Alan, sometimes you hear from your family. Like, what did you say in answer? Sorry,
No, I am saying,
I'm actually asking
on 49.3 about the disclosure.
Yeah.
To me, somehow, it just triggers the thing that I was trying, initially I thought I understood what was meant by their truth, 49 subsection 2.
Yeah.
But now, I'm not so sure if I actually understand it within the context that Honorable Levine was raising. That's all I'm saying.
Can I say, Alan? I have to go because it's a family matter and he's pregnant and he has to leave. So please, go ahead.
But I don't want to delay you, Jay.
No,
it's not a
you don't like to ask a question. But I like your generosity in saying that. Yes, we will reply. How? I'm probably with Dina. Remember where she comes from. Yeah, Dina.
Looking at the phrase as soon as practicable, it is meant to convey that a person should make an effort to comply with the requirement and disclose the interest promptly. but we didn't specify a specific time frame, such as a certain number of days or something, because, you know, circumstances would vary, so... this is why a phrasing such as that is used, but I agree it's not an extremely exact term, but that it is intended to require prompt reporting as soon as someone becomes aware of it. But they can't just sit there for a while and say, oh, I'll forget about it and then avoid disclosing it and for a long time.
Have you taken any offense?
She's going to hang that before the judge. I don't think the judge is going to deal with this in subject matter. I think it'll be just an object matter. In most of the time, as soon as reasonably possible, and depending on the fact it might change, but you're not going to get away with 10 years unless you were in a coma. For 10 years.
I don't know why she's laughing about a fact that he's alive.
No, but I'm sorry. Anyway, first thing I'm
thinking of is that an example
is maybe
not on the fact
that... Of course it is.
Because the brain falls within a reasonable time. So a foreign taxes and exceeds it. There's a certain reason why we only fought at a certain period. Of course, said, no, that's not a good enough. Objectively, looked at this, we need a constitutional amendment because we could have done the floor crossing within the 1975 legislation. So, court would have got to make the point on that, on the object of the year. So, they will listen to you, but they will not understand the truth. They're not really responsible for it. So, I don't think it's really.
Thank you. Can I suggest, as the least, of course, it's fine at ease. With the response that you don't pursue this cover. But if you want to solicit it to a right, it's covered in the other way.
Okay.
But you're right to raise this. I mean, just sort of remind us. 4, A5, A, B, C, done 4, the straightforward one. Any members have anything to say on 4, sub 4 of 49 on page 38? Nope, right. 5! You made some changes here under 6, right? 5 is okay? Good, good. But 6? You added a financial section, right? 6 is good. Why did you make the change, Gabby?
What?
Yeah, you were saying something quickly on 6.
That's one clarification.
Yeah,
why that clause is even 2. Why the non-competitive interest?
Which clause?
In 6A, 4, 6A, 1. Thank you for reminding me. And we just wanted, wanted some clarity about why those provisions are written in.
Yeah, so this is to prevent the situation that you having to disclose your run-of-the-mill, like I'm holding an insurance policy, have a bank account. But dealing with those particular cases, opposed to I've got a ownership interest in a particular entity upon which I'm
making
a
decision.
And at the 6th page, do you get an official or an employee of the Reserve Bank?
Because the PA is part of the Reserve Bank, so they are all officials who are going to the Reserve Bank.
And then you add the one. Sandy, I know, can we just go to 2A? Why do you put that in?
Financial customer. It's because we are all, again, so in this particular context, in the PA, all the officials and employees are members of the Reserve Bank. They are all part of the Reserve Bank. We are all also financial customers. So it's...
Right. Do you think there's a numbering? I think you're right, but you may not be, Ethan. I can reply to that as a lawyer, but you reply. I'll tell you what the predecessor is.
From also the news.
I'm trained. I actually told people I need a PhD in law because we sat here processing local government. Everything these people said is unconstitutional, we'll get the lawyers in, and the box of everything. Subsequently you want, but not in that time. Right, fine. Sunny, this material is like reasonable, right? The same old material. Now, I'm asking you to go to Mauritius this weekend with us. Sort out. Because I'm not going to ask this question again, but let her just come for the last time. Yeah, but we've covered it in different regards. Fine. Go for it as a
decision.
It depends
on the decision. It's material
of the
decision.
The court will ultimately decide, right? Advocate. Exactly. I'm saying it as a lawyer. No one has to be a PhD in law, right? You see, the question comes up. No, let me tell you where it first came up. My question will be interesting. A bit of history. When he said in the Municipal Services, the Municipal Systems Act, that the services must be fair and equitable. Stop it there. What do you mean by fair? What is the meaning of fair? What he does is fair, and what I does is fair would be completely opposite. Like we don't belong to the same planet, right? So, what does fair mean? Then the question of what is reasonable? What is material in a similar word? Right? There is no actual precise definition. People even ask Sandhya, our comrades in particular, they said in the municipal system, so why don't you put down what is the meaning of fair? I didn't agree with our comrades, but hey, I'm in a minority there. They have accused people, Herod, Provia, four people, who finally got consultation with international authorities and came back and said, no way in the world where the word fair is used in a similar context if they ever had a definition. Because fair also changes. If the economy is doing well, you know, our constitutional provisions are reasonable, housing and so on. The cost will say, the economy is at 8%. Why can't you deliver housing to the homeless? But when the economy is 1%, now, the cost will decide, no, you can't deliver housing to the people, you can move them, etc. So, we've been through this, it's interesting. And it's correct to ask it, Tanya, I'm not saying that. It's a very, but I'm just reporting to you that actually, these things are very, if you don't use the word material, you'll genuinely and he will spell it out to you, what it means. And yet, if we use it, you're absolutely right. What do you mean by material? What is materially significant, like part of their saying those things? Those questions have never got the answer you and I at the position one. Because I've now come to the conclusion, well, I came to the conclusion in the late early 2000s. It's not possible to define it. More questions, you understand?
No, sure. I'll say at least this one I understand. You know, the explanation by the KBY was also adequate. Because, for example, if we get a Standard Bank coming here, I have a deficit account with Standard Bank, then should I recuse myself simply because account with Standard Bank?
Yeah.
That's not material. Yes, I may be having an account with Standard Bank, maybe they need to finance my account or whatever. But
it's not material to the outcome.
It's not necessarily going to conflict in any way.
Yeah. That's a precise answer of material in this context, Marco. It's very helpful. Good? Right.
Yeah. You also understand the purpose of what it's there. If you look at subsection 1, it's for any interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't qualify
it.
They cut on it.
Whatever is agreed by a decision, so that it's for any interest. There's no issue. The question of whether it was real to the decision taken doesn't arise. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because it allows a further
discussion. But we will find the word material elsewhere as well, right? And we never going to get the precise definition of empty is one, which I understand. 49 is it? We've all agreed to. 51 onwards. 51 A to F. 51 A is 50 sub 1 is fine. 52 is 50 sub 2. See again, performance measures under 3A. You're really good in putting all the things. I hope you implement that. Clause 51. Is straightforward. 52 in proper again. You explain what the benefits for this problem, not limited financial benefits, isn't it? 52, I don't see an issue on this from the outside. Sorry?
Why
do you want
to
suggest
for remove them, put that as if? Why didn't you just
leave it at least? I think they initially moved
to realize.
She's being facetious, right? But answer the question. I mean, that's a mistake, right? You moved and didn't realize you moved the wrong thing. Can I answer to you? You mean I'll be a lawyer?
Actually, it was just we highlighted the words and the way the fact changed works.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, fine. Very profound question, Makosi.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Marcus. You know you invite trouble, eh? Momo. He says it's very revolutionary, right? And yet you've been told him that's very transformative.
He says, no, you know, it's still the year, it's still the day, it's still the day.
But, okay, he has two revolutions.
Two revolutions, yeah. Okay. By the way, I read the IRVA committee. You know there's going to be stakeholders.
Okay.
Then people will say, which stakeholders I have to report back to you. So I met the IRVA today. They've come with this report. Momo, I need to talk to you about it. And if it's in the committee, come to the committee. They've got some good ideas on transforming. You know the issues we raised even 2 years ago about transforming the auditing. I thought of it now. Transforming the auditing profession and so on. Remember, they are one of the best entities falling under us. They're number one and number two in the world. They will be probably in the fourth quarter. Right? Over the age of 53. Yeah. 53 should be
done. Thank you, Chair. I'm issues that I'm going to read the hand across 53.
Okay, fine.
Referring to subsection. You talk about delegation of authority by the concerned. By this, to receive obligations, to receive obligations after them. And that's why if you look at government general, the delegations are all types of and levels of delegation. And then I was going through the thing, I don't see that. So let's take the TA itself. And there should be a question of the audit committee. And there are some things which are kept at the law. Right? But in front of the process, there is a procurement committee like, right? And I feel that becomes a delegated authority from PA itself, right? Because you know they don't sit over the state. So I'm failing to see that where PA is being empowered to do that, right? Which is in the general government of an organization. Then if I was to pick up something on 53 on the first is close to the limit of the government, on the other side, I think we should also be very clear about one. The CEO should know who the CEO votes to, right? And it can be either the minister of government, right? He must be voting to somebody, right? So if the minister of information shouldn't be what is from the CEO. The CEO must provide it to the authority. And then, I did speak about the question of audit committee. I don't know, it appears on my side to check. I didn't see. But all I can say is that this whole government, like education, all the usual, those things are contained in the committee's decisions of authority and so on and so forth, which you can't complain for which is what you need to do. Are those covered?
Yes.
Okay.
So they are covered. Just to explain this, I didn't always deal with this. What the bill requires, in addition, and also just to add, remember you can have sufficient amounts of fees and other requirements, and you've actually built in a lot of those requirements into the statute. These are the types of requirements that we've built in. So the power is vested in the provincial authority itself. Those powers are then exercised by the executive, who is the CEO. That is specified in terms of the bill. We then provide for delegation, that's how delegation can happen, and what can be delegated as how. In other words, we do everything that can be delegated in terms of the arrangement as it's described, unless specified otherwise. There are certain functions which cannot be delegated, and that then is kept, and primarily in this market, in the provincial authority, it's maintained in the, or the exercise duties by the committee itself. We do also then provide the various governance arrangements, including the financial management, which we're looking at now 53, and then also the annual reporting is 55. We do provide for the 45, the section 45 to deal with the governance committee, which includes the
auditors.
You're
okay
with this?
Yeah. Anything else you want to raise on 53?
Can I raise an issue that we have faced on all parties, the issue of cost, right? So when you talk of fees now, recommend the Prudential Committee fees for Prudential Supervision. And later you talk about collecting revenue on the team, so I'm going to use the Prudential Fund. Just remind us now how this is later down the road, right? Just remind us now how the fees decide, who are these fees from, what are the fees for?
So to be clear, these kind
and also, what are the implications for the customer?
Okay. So these fees are not the levies.
Oh, they're not the
levies. So the main cost, which we're talking about, which I think the concern would be the cost of supervision, which are going to come through in the levies, which we'll have to submit the money on. So this is purely for fees related to, like, photo session.
Oh, the trivial evidence. Oh, right. Yeah, because you see, when we come to cost, we come back to the big thing. This is going to be a major deal. In the UK, they told us, basically, that in a significant sense, even the banks themselves, if I'm correct, admit that part of the fees, well, not part, but sometimes it can be spoken by the money, they're basically admitting that actually the customer is a significant part. They claim they didn't eat into the profit. But at the same time, a significant part was borne by the customer. So the levy story and so on comes in phase two, right? We need to look at those sort of things. You don't have a bill necessarily, but you tell us what the key elements are. Because in our report to Parliament, we're going to make it clear we have those bills on the understanding. That's in phase two, so to speak. We'll define what phase two is. I mean, these things will be done. And then the committee was monitoring to do it. Yes, Professor?
No, I'm not sure if what we are meaning to is actually true. Because I'll tell you, having worked in the retirement industry, and I know that there were fees that were paid to FSB for everything, even training. We don't even know how they are determined. Like, you know, this is the portal we have to write, all the individuals and the compliance officers as well. They have to write it. There are so many fees that we have to pay. And I don't think that it's only limited to just photostarting, photocopying or whatever. I think it's much, much more than that. And I think it's important that we get the true reflection of what we are talking about here, because I don't think we are present today.
So it's incorrectly minimized. You're right. The correct that the main costs that we were talking about are the cost of supervision, which will go through the legal process. But it is not so minimal as opposed to copying. So there are costs, for example, your original license application, and that can be more sizable.
Like
for example, on the insurance, I think it can be in a region of 500,000. For your license.
I have a point of order, such a thing. I'm really, really worried about this. You know, for Cathy to reply like that, no, it requires censure. I don't know if the committee does that. This is, you can't tell me, Cathy, you've been with us for 5,000 years, that you didn't understand what the fees are for.
Sorry.
He said, oh, sorry, the question that arises is to look at, if of course we are not racist, our understanding would be, it's minor thing like photocopying. Now we're talking about 500,000. Well, you in charge of the city. Now we are suddenly thinking the cat should not be here, actually. It's really annoying me. I want to talk to you after this meeting, not her. If you bring members like this, if you bring staff like this, she has to, the waiting on her to show that it was a deliberate human, indeliberate is such a word, human failure on her part. But I find that astonishing given the quality of her responses. So the question does arise, how many of you guys are taking her for a ride? That's an outrageously straightforward question.
This is
an absurd answer.
I think you made a mistake, and I'm not trying to second guess, because if you look at the line, you're saying fees and everything, okay? Fees is not part of the tax scheme, so why don't the company just correct?
Why didn't you? Before Makoshi asked. Even Makoshi hasn't asked. No, let's not be disingenuous. You should have put your hand up before Makoshi asked and said, no, that's not accurate. Now, there's a fact here. How many thousand people are here, by the way? What cost to the state? None of you
intervene. She does.
Oh, you just put your hand up.
So, Chair, that's the thing that not everyone is expert on every aspect. So, I think, if you look at this, and this is an issue that another working in tax policy, so the financial section deserves that. Financial tax policy. So the issue really is as follows, that if you look at, you know, kind of differentiation generally, how you define a tax, which is an unrequited payment that you make. When you pay tax, by definition, it's for something you're not getting in return. Most agencies will also have fee. A fee is, by definition, for a specific service. So if you make an application, if there is a fee, that would be looked at. What I want to say, Chair, is when we met, not previously, but Romania, on Romania had asked this question when we started a week or so ago. When we said that you would like to see the financial sort of structure, the levy, etc. And what we said was that as you get to the end of the bill, we do have personally a money bill. A money bill, of course, would only deal with the levy part. Fees are not regarded as being part of the money bill, as I understand. I'm sure I'm going to double check, right? Mm-hmm. So we do need to have a framework for the entire thing, because yes, I agree with you. If you look at the current situation that we have, there is some approval. If you look at the FSB, they write to us any week and they say that this is what they charge for and this is the increase they want. I think these processes need to be much more transparent, and I think that's the question they asked. You don't want any agency to determine its own fee and levies, because there may be inefficiencies there, wastage there, there's governance issues like what the salary structure, etc. Okay. So for that reason, we do want a more transparent process, even at the cost of us crippling when you have access and so on, which, the regulators come and they say, as part of the independence, they must determine their own budget. I say, we live in a democracy, and, you know, you are going to come and justify what your budget should be. Now, of course, there are very different in the Reserve Bank, because it falls within the Reserve Bank, so you need to deal with it. But certainly, if you look at the conduct authority of the FSB currently, does charge levy fees. And I don't think it's very transparent. I don't think it's very comparable and so on, because that's how the system works. So we are trying to, when we come back to you, certainly it's not that we finalize this completely, but in amongst ourselves, there's still an issue. We did have a draft bill, for example, last year. I was not happy with the product, because frankly the financial sector team did. I don't think they dealt with the money bill issue, because I feel that we do need to be different. So for example, what we started off with was something that tried to mimic how does the SSD currently charge and try to have whatever the activity is be. And we may have to go that way because if you're an asset management company, there may be a different approach. Banks currently don't
pay. We're not using this, there's a long you're responsible for this team.
Yes.
So we're not using independent.
Yes.
Right? And really it's your responsibility and the team to intervene.
Yes.
And if people respond the way Kathy did, you can discuss it outside this meeting and I'll explain with you. It makes us very suspicious.
Yes. Why do you want to apologize for that?
Right.
Yeah, I said it was.
Now, the lucky one is to say something and then simply so. Yeah, okay, then Tanji and simply so, what difference does it make?
So just to clarify in terms of the current arrangement for BSD or for banks. So for regulation 58 to 60 that describes all manner of types of fees that we can charge on banks, including annual license renewal, including license application, how much of losses we have banks and license and so on. And that in terms of regulation, which are with public and there are certain formulas that is used to apply to specific types of bank and types of transactions of service that the regulator offers. So I think how I understand was that the fees part of this clause was turning to that, also quite separately from the lending.
So
it's a short argument. I think having listened to the quality of the response from the team and in particular for Kate, I think I would like us to be a little bit of doubt on this one. I think she really started and that's one thing. I've been dealing with this for many days and I must say from where I've been quite impressed about her response. It may sound, it should have been a serious stumbling, but I think let's start with a little bit of doubt there.
What difference can make is the woman's mother than it was said keeping what the female's mother about. That's the one to remind you that we need to sign so we must give us a break. I was making suggestions. I don't know if you are meant to admit. But I was at a surprise time look at the compensation act and the less compensation so that when we look at the money groups we can get the truth of how many we shall suffer. Because we won't be able to change this to the coming collector and assuming that it's a foreign process because it's not covered by the legislation. So if you can notice Kathy and when we look at the money bills, we look at both the legislation and how she can facilitate any problems without preparing how the legislation is changed as we just sort of have to do it. But to engage at a point where we believe that whether in which the structure might create problems in the structure to that institution, by especially those who are institutions that need to develop, because they will not really survive what we are trying to achieve with the development plan. I think it will lay off, because it doesn't listen too much to the work, it's not that it is realized. It does kind of show that it's a very problem, it's a very thin line.
Right, say what they like. My point essentially is not about, ultimately about whether you intended to do that or not. It's about actually A, the group coming to the rescue of somebody who hasn't given us full information. B, because we've got limited resources, we don't have the capacity to actually evaluate some of the more concrete answers you need as far as financial implications are concerned. And C, if, because you haven't raised the question, it is doubtful whether the clarity would have been secured. I always thought being very interested, but I'm right to say that. Tanvi's personal views about me and I again are in relation to the point I'm making now. Also, the point I want to make is that we need to look at this and all its damage, the cost. There is another matter that I think niggles a lot of here. You see, it's not about the average customer, so to speak, who simply banks, you know, with his little money to say like a week or month. It's also about the emerging entrepreneurs and so on. The licensees are sometimes very prohibitive. They seem to be based on the existing monopolies and big players there. So you will find, for example, in many cities, we encourage small emerging entrepreneurs and new entrants into the economy, but then they have these huge fees they have to pay, which disadvantages them. So I'm pleased to see what Momo says, that there is some supervision of it. But it is something that we need. If we're talking about transformation, then we have to find some way of dealing with this in some form or another in the boat. It shows us it's impossible to deal with it in this boat, and something in our report. That our concern is not just about the little customer down there, it's also about emerging business. So, you want to say something, Joy?
Is there a measure? I think it's important maybe to realize, we understand how we fix these. So, for instance, if you get an insurance, we have quite a detailed work study to say, if you get a license application, what, in addition to your normal supervisory activities from on-site visits, outside monitoring, etc., how much time and effort, and which levels of the organization is getting to that license application. So there's actually a formula that we worked on by some salary levels, times, etc., that comes to the C. So it's not just sort of we want to start, we think 250 sounds good, you know. And I think maybe also, when you say, so it varies a lot. So a license application might be quite expensive, but if you clearly want copies of the financial statements of a regulated entity, that might be just $1,000, $50, $10, depending on the document. And so currently in terms of the fee provisions, we also allow for exemptions. Specifically if a person requires information relating to research, etc. And already in the current environment, there is already a specific dispensation for new events, depending on which strategy you fall in. And I think as part of our process going forward, in terms of planning for the future EDCA, inclusion and translation has been quite a key issue that we are looking at, and we will have...
Okay, I think we'll come back later and see what we'll do. Of course, yeah. Yes, Mr. Kappel?
You know, I do address that I think it probably may have understated the importance of the matter, but I also want us to acknowledge the fact that this, that the fee structure and the way they are derived at is a massive amount of tension, especially in the financial services sector, for the people in particular, you know, and I've raised this previously. You know, you take even issues in the insurance industry, it's almost a normal thing for back or previously disadvantaged individuals because of the way the fees are charged. And here I understand we are talking about supervision fees, but we are even talking about other services provided. And when you look at that, you must remember that sometimes, let me give you a good example of FSP. FSP may be picking up an issue. Every step of the way when they are telling you there is this thing that they pick up, they want you to correct and charge you. You do that, and they pick up something else and you must. And before you know it, your bill is ballooning. There is no way of actually even budgeting around it. And especially on issues of compliance, I've made an example about compliance because that's one of the key areas. There's many other places. Imagine. Imagine participants in the pension fund industry and insurance, these are some of the key issues that they have, including even this type of fees that are charged for training individuals to sign to start there, and this thing, remember you also pay your skills levy, but you still have to pay FSB for these examinations that they must be written and over and over, I mean, it just becomes so much. And even the pass mark is sometimes very unrealistic to most employees. You know, key electrons, you must get for that every exam, you must get at least 65% or something. And you get 60%. We said employees, our senior executive, where I used to work, who got 60% and had to go more than four times. And they have to pay a lot of money. You need to pay even the moderators, you have to pay all the people that must be taking them through all these things. So there is a lot hidden under this, and I'm talking from experience. And that is why I was interested. When Jack was saying, and I do appreciate that maybe it might have been a thing because maybe you are not involved in that sector, but I was involved in that sector, and I know very well what is happening in terms of this area, which has become a major area change, a major area of entry.
Actually, these issues, to be fair to Marcos, have come up before in, you know, I remember her, and others also raising it, right? So the thing I'm going back to the system we have in the community is not something of financial customers. We're talking of emerging businesses and entrepreneurs. We have to digitalize the insurance industry, the financial sector, and so on. The thing is, I don't want an elaborate discussion because we're going to have it. It's not germane to the story. We're not going to adopt these clauses simply. We're not going to change the clauses. We want it. And I don't think we're going to tell you more or tell us it's not relevant here, it's there, and so on. No. We want to put some things in there. And I'm just asking you to come with a thoughtful, considered, reflective input, not a technical one, taking into account, of course, we put it most effectively, but it's a reflection of the majority in this committee. The thing I want to say, that struck me, I didn't want to take this all forward, because of course, you took it even further. I want to say something that might sound utterly absurd, but it's like stating a sort of like principle. I don't think it's in practice. Personally, you see, I'm a middle-class fat cat, only a chairperson salary thing. Now, when you decide to show me, for every rand of value that I have got, I must pay maybe 2 cents in short. But if there's somebody living in a working-class home, in Kairicha or Lopale or Onchima, for every rand of their value, we shouldn't pay 2 cents in short, because I didn't pay 1 cent. You know, like how we do the services. Now, you will say, fine, this guy, Momo, you and I believe these things in the 80s, Momo and I said the same Marxist approach, he's in the Communist Party also, leave all that aside. He's not reformed. Okay, so let me say this, that, you know what, this country is going to explode, right? Momo, you know this better than most of your team because of your history, right? This country is going to explode, right? If we do not, and certainly that we drag, right, to do some of these things, I understand your concern, but you see, take my horse's point, since you've taken it so far. The first time a person fails, they can pick 5 rounds for the fee. So they are 60%. How big is 60% to 65% when you have to transform? I'm not saying there's a different result for a non-African and an African. But the second time a person applies, he is transformed. Why must they pay, what did I say? 5 rounds. They must pay 1. Then at that time they apply, because they're likely to get 65, they get 50 cents. So your fee structure should be more centered, I suggest it's a policy issue, to actually creating the space for emerging players in the space. 23 years later, it's not been transformed. So when you come along, deal with the thing politically, not just take into account, this is a problem you really under.
Sorry. When Kathy Arnold knew immediately she made a mistake, and through the finish course, just for the record, she was correct, and I thought of how she immediately she realized this.
I told you I withdrew. I'm not making moral judgment, but I'm not withdrawing my comments. Well, you see, it's sitting in the corner, it's already possible. Why don't you give it? Put the button in there. Yeah. Right, from this, I'll tell them, go quick.
And I'm just going, obviously we're not talking about FSD here, this is basically my reserve bank, which is credential.
No, but it'll apply to system general.
Yes, financial problem. Yes. I think what the discussion we were having earlier, obviously doesn't fit in here.
Let me understand all
that. Yeah, separate issue. And most of these people are new, they didn't exist in these
Yeah,
as a person of theoretically, not theoretically, I've literally found trying to get bank classes. I've actually closed down banks, worked the reserve bank before. We're going to be careful that those barriers to entry are there for very good reasons. They're not colour barriers, because many banks will probably pay the millions of rands that are involved in the bank. There might be, but it might be.
I don't know.
I don't know. We can have a much bigger social problem when your pyramid schemes start banks. So we've got to bear in mind that
we're going to
have this discussion, understand that previous begging license are every exclusive one.
We don't say that.
But it is a very
that's not extreme. No one forces to that. Right, Mr. Media and then Makosi.
It looks like we're about to move on from this chair. It's sort of based on legal chair. I think the response was disproportionate. Pepe made an honest mistake. There was no intention to mislead the committee.
Okay, can you record that? There's only on the alpha.
Identified the financial implications of the bill as a substantive issue, and we are going to revisit it. And I think our
strategy really
speaks to that. I do think this committee should, and I understood that we had a commitment from Treasury to receive the money bill concurrently with this bill, whether we process it or not, specifically we'll have in our position. And that I still think that given our discussion here, there might be a merit in the committee having a special session on the whole question of financial implications of the
committee. Right, nothing new there. Right, focus.
No, sir, I just wanted to say, you know, to Brennan, I always like what he said, but I'm saying, if we are focusing on what we are dealing with here now, we're talking about this prudential supervision fee and other services provided by prudential authorities in terms of the state. And I can tell you that it's a long list. And the way he speaks, I don't think he has. He has sufficient appreciation of the evolution of the banking industry in South Africa and what has happened in terms of even the standards. Because most of them are standards of the cooperative banks and they turn commercial banks, and now that is a standard. Now if you want to go, you want to establish a bank. It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. Even the terms of the standards that are required in terms of IT and whatnot. And that is why in this country it should always be a difficult thing to transform the financial services sector. And that is why we are interested when we are dealing with interest like this. Because they form part of our own history as a country. I don't think you guys appreciate that. And we cannot divorce the evolution of the banking sector in South Africa from the racial segregation policies of the country and the exclusion of black people from the economy.
And no one is suggesting what you're saying. NRC is extreme. Yes.
Your answer for giving us a
great expression. Yes, I'm telling you exactly that. The reason...
And the second one, can you tell me the first thing that you gave, because you never interpreted your identity. I'm not irritated by anybody. I made a suggestion. I'm expecting you to throw it to the house or take it to the I'm saying, can we have a separate discussion?
Yeah, we agreed on it.
So
the reason is we are providing a framework for...
I'm saying what the ATM is now, and we are moving from an uninformed position because there is no presentation made about fees. And this matter is crucial and important, and we've raised that we need to look at the developmental agenda. It's part of what we are trying to achieve. So let's pack it, come back to it with the relevant documentation, and affect the different, it affects the monthly. That's my goal.
Yeah, we've already agreed to that, but thanks for telling us what we agreed to.
Can we break?
Yeah, now that's what I'm coming to. You see, we initially agreed on a break if we have sitting till 6 or 7. From what I know, we're finishing half past 4.
Yeah.
Right. I have gone and told them that the committee, we've got the attendance register, we freed the register. But I've also told members, shortly before 2 o'clock, you should go and sign it. Nothing stops that. When the bells ring, you can get members to sign. It's 10 past 4, so I thought there's no need for a break, given the reason. That's why I thought that it is 4:30 time. But you, I mean, may have another reason for wanting to go as well. That's fine. But remember, members, we are signed, but now when we finish, you can just go sign there. I spoke now again to the guy who was responsible for the overall program. Can we go to the next call because we're finishing in 20 minutes? No. 54. Yeah, there's somebody who's face up here. Yeah, why did they reporting to the, I don't understand this, the Treasury on this, like sacrificing independence and all that. What's the point? I don't follow. 44.
The comment is on the information that that can be provided. So here's a typical one, that the CEO must provide financial freedom information, etc. And the concern by Craig was that that would lead to an executive intervention, and somehow that could strengthen the independence of the institution. We believe that there is certain information that is necessary on aggregate for the Treasury to be affecting policy decisions and that the
Treasury. Yeah, I agree with you. Anybody disagrees with Treasury on this one? No, nope, let's go on. 55, there's something here from Basa. Checks and balances. You see, you covered, right? Basa didn't say anything. Good, so we do. On 55, though, you made this change, right? So let's see. 55, 185. Right, B. What have you done here, Hassan?
Okay.
When we had deliberations about Nova Auditors on just the implications of this financial reporting system, they implored us to try to align the wording that we have here with financial reporting system and auditing requirements so that we applied on the spot. For example, there were things here that had the outcome that we have a different order for the financial authority in the development process, and which obviously not necessary given that it's our evil is subject to all of those requirements. So this is really aligning that to what we try to do with the financial reporting in that country. I'm going to refer to the PA, which is the same, and the activity, but the rest of the financial reporting and the statement will form part of the annual report.
Look, I can't see anything particularly. You talk about submitting to the minister within 5 months after the end of each of the tabling in the National Assembly, right? Now, the question I wanted to ask you guys, if in any case the SARB tables its report, and the provincial authority is a structure of the SARB, now, what is the effect of the provincial authority tabling its report separately, to my end? Why don't they do it with the SARB?
Yeah, I think we do want this to be a sort of separate unit within the SARB.
Yeah.
But being said that some of the issue of its finances will really be part of the SARB's provision. We'll see that when we deal later with the next chapter with the Market Conduct Authority, we don't have to put this one like that because the PFMA is covered. The SARB first is not in the PFMA. And secondly, you know, to the extent that you want some annual reporting, if it's non-financial and non-utilities, there should be a clause to that. And am I right there, right?
Yes, we just wanted to ensure, when we spoke about the peer relationship between the PA and the SARB, we want the PA to be recognized as a state of independent agency, and accountability should take on.
There's some symmetry between the two authorities that we want to deal with.
Well, also, I think we've seen a shift, so what we've been talking about on the lead side, so banks currently haven't paid lead for shots between boundary that they're reserving. So that and even these processes are shifting to a place to account where we can see exactly how much money is being raised from the industry and how that money is being spent, and this is a mechanism to help do that.
And then you cover yourself more with saying that the financial accounts can be disclosed in the form of an annex to the annual report of staff, right? So far they've discovered that.
Yeah.
So basically, I think it's fine. I didn't oppose it. I don't know why you were separating it, but I sort of anticipated your answers. It's sort of been looked at a little bit. You removed sub 2 there in red, the annual report. Why is that removed?
So again, this is extending from an article again where it's better aligning between the requirements are still there, but
yeah,
the way to align to the SARB process.
Right, let's go on. Let's approve the operate. Financial Sector Conduct Authority, 56.1. There's nothing from anybody until we get to 58, right? So, Mark, yeah. So basically, we go to 56.1. Any issue there? And 56.2. Why you remove the words in red?
So, this being a subject of considerable debate around who is the accounting authority for the Conscious Authority. And the person, in fact, even though it's been the leadership has been to, and I think the most important to this, is to restore, in fact, restore these provisions. And the reason being is to make it put accountability squarely in the hands of one person, as opposed to the committee as a whole.
Personally, I would prefer that, but and that's the way it's done, isn't it? The DSMA CEO, the accounting officer, right? Isn't that correct?
The difference is, yes, yeah, but the difference is that in the DSMA, the board is the accounting authority.
Yes, the parliament, they account on the board. And then,
but if you look at SARS, yeah, the commission, the commission. So I understand, I must check this on the one thing to start with. But the way I understand it is the commission. So I think the issue here is, you know, at the top, the executive committee is the it is made up of the commissioner and the deputy commissioner, so the same group of four or five people. Should this be treated as a collective entity that's the accounting authority, or should it be the commissioner? My personal preference is that it's it should be the commissioner. However, there is a view that they should be treated as a collective and that the commissioner shouldn't be in sort of too, you know, much or too significant or significantly more powerful than the other deputy commissioners. Now, certainly when they make decisions on the of the regulation nature, we want them to act as a collective. Rather than have one person have his view who's the registrar or the taxi registrar, we want this to be a committee that makes decisions and to take charge of everything out there in the other system. So I always feel it's better when you have actual money responsibility, you make one human being. I'm open.
No, do you have enough? Or is it Catholic? I can't remember which one it is. No, not here, no. Any more that more question?
No, I just wanted to know that are there any comments from the fact that people commented on this? They are not going to be
able to. I can ask, when you say there is a view, whose view are you talking about?
In our own working
group. Oh, your team.
You know,
so what is your current view? Janine, you had hang up, I think.
I was just going to say, generally, in the, and I think maybe Mohan was also referring to that, in the TFMA for public entities, as distinct from departments where there's an accounting officer, in the public entities they refer to the accounting authority, and that is generally referred to as a collective, either the board or other governing body of that
more
entity.
Consistent with that.
And so that's why we have had to include the wording which we would propose restoring. If it's going to be a single individual, we would have to make it clear that this would be different. The PFMA authorizes a different person to be designated as the accounting authority for a public entity, but you have to specifically provide for that. Otherwise, default would be...
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
you get the gist. Yes, I might. So, it is the position that it should be circulated. But we do take a moment of argument as well. So, in our engagement internally, we did propose to Treaty that we would prefer the collective to be. Because, as Mara was saying, our new system where we want to go is based on collective decision making in the set of institutions that we already have. But we also feel that if you allow the commissioner to take all the money decisions, that it does sort of create an imbalance and sort of undermines the collective. But truth is our authority, so we'll abide by the...
So what is your current position now? Is it normal? Is it that should be the collective or the commissioner?
Look, I'm open to either. I had a mild preference for one person. But and I do think that SARS and so on do offer different models, but that means that if we do want to go for the person, we've got to have a clause in.
Fine. What are you saying, Advocate Jenkins?
You're correct that in the TFMA that provision does say that if you have a controlling body, it's a controlling body for the public entity. There's no controlling body. It's the CEO. But notwithstanding, we don't have to discuss because the relevant
pleasure in exceptional circumstances make another person as the relevant context. So we can do it without actually creating an exception. For me, in terms of governance, it's nice to say that the accounting officer is responsible, and the committee is very difficult to say who's responsible as someone said, no, they didn't like it, but the majority liked it, very quickly. But we can still, rather than having an exception, using the CFMA, which is something that I don't like, because it makes the reading very difficult. If the conduct authority wants to, and they show the exception circumstances, that can always apply to Turkey, they probably go to bother and have a discussion with them at the phone, and so we just, in our circumstances, we would get to
say. That's fine. I'm okay.
I mean, it's on the basis that it's really should be one person, because at the end of the day, it's not about the money, it's deciding who's got a part. And otherwise, whoever controls the purse is going to have a part. Government,
that
collective.
Mm.
No government at all.
Yeah.
All right,
so I don't have a view personally.
Does
anybody have a view? What should we do?
Now, please, this is what I'm saying. I really prefer an individual, because I think if you have an overall person responsible, who takes, because this is an accounting authority, I just think it might affect, I don't know what can, maybe it may end up affecting operational efficiency. Say if you leave it to a body, you know?
But can I suggest that if there's no major disagreement within the committee, we accept what Mokoshi and the Semena say. Fine, good, decided. Thank you. Right. Objective 27. Now, yeah.
No. I wanted to say on claim and on 57A.
Yeah.
Claim. Shifting and market are two completely different concepts. Shifting, financial shifting, financial shifting and financial market, those are two different things. Is this the intention? Do you understand that is this the intention? Because it looks like we are now changing the debt. You are changing from system to market. I'm not sure whether you realize that this is not necessary. These are two different things, and I'm not sure if we are also talking about system and market, or we are replacing system completely with markets, because they're two different.
So they are very different. Well, markets are the subject of the system, and that's entirely the case. And so when you had initially crafted the bill, and specifically with relation to the conduct authority, keeping in mind here, integrity in this context is not talking about FIC type of integrity. We're not talking about financial crimes.
Mm.
We're talking about things like price and discovery. So it's integrity of the market infrastructure.
Mm.
The concern that was raised with financial systems is that because it is so wide, it will include payments, the payment system. And that then leads to a conflict in the jurisdiction in terms of what the National Payment System Department under the Reserve Bank is responsible for and what the Conduct Authority is responsible for. So going forward, we would want those two frameworks to align, and we've got projects underway which will be doing exactly that. But we can't be doing that in terms of the law, and so financial system security, I think, could change to finance markets.
You okay with that, Makoshi?
Yeah.
She's fine with me, but I'm not ready for you, so, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah, she's going to do it for me. Fine. The next one, then, is 57B. Yeah, you're protecting financial customers. Any questions here from this one? Yeah. Fine. Can I just raise a question on financial education programs, financial literacy, and so on? Now, moreover, in a country like ours, right, these are key things, right? Now, so the key things in our report to Parliament, we should stress the need to intensify these programs, and the Parliament will monitor what is being done within this reasonable limits of time and space and what have you. But I just want to leave to members what happened in the UK, right? Section D is financial education for the public, right? It says that the UK has a broad range of consumer protection bodies which inform the public about their rights and responsibilities in the financial sector. Some of these consumer protection bodies are funded from public finances, In return, they play an important role in educating consumers on financial products and services and the sector as a whole. Other consumer bodies are not publicly funded, but funded by levies and fines, and educate the financial sector service users and the public at large about the financial regulations. This is the point. This need for financial education of the public is even more crucial in South Africa, and Scott needs to give concerted attention to this. This is what we decided. This was a report. This cost the state close to 750,000 lands. So we must throw the lessons from here. Now, what we found, there was a very interesting IFOS. Those who want to study to remember. Organization. But even there, it was very interesting. They seem to suggest that I remember it, that actually even a little society like the UK, you will find astonishing levels of ignorance about financial issues. And they make very stupid, impulsive decisions. And then they suffer the consequences. And so they gave us some examples, you recall, Sandy and us. You know, the thing that people do, and it strikes your head, right? You can have a university degree, a PhD or something, and you can make, well, if somebody has a master's degree, I tell you sort of thing I've done. Career, like I'm sharing this with. But anyway, here we are now. What I'm saying is that I think that this matter as a committee, we need to put a lot in our thought and monitor what is being done. So on financial education, financial literacy, we'll have a lot of discussion when we come to implementation of the bill. But is there anything you have as National Treasury in mind about what you expect from the Conduct Authority on Education and Literacy?
Yes. So, there is an existing committee which brings together a range of all different stakeholders in this area of financial education, of which Treasury is chairing, and the conduct of the ECB kind of authority participation. Currently what we have is a scenario where I think it's only fragmented in terms of the way in which consumer education happens. So there's money being allocated, and largely all under the charter processes, and there are programs happening, but the way in which those programs are happening is being done firstly across financial institutions in different ways, and even between the financial institutions and the regulator, which is currently the FSC, who also actually does its own consumer education program. There is some overlap in duplication, and then of course there's underlap in some. So where we're at now is developing a plan, and this then goes to your question around what the Conduct Authority is going to be doing, to refine the responsibility of all these relevant categories of institutions. So Treasury's role being more the policy framework, the enabling environment, the regulator, who for example we think is probably best placed to be involved and taking all the initiatives that the financial institution can't. So for example, in getting financial education better more concretely into the secondary school level, into the school syllabus, which is their party, but is not there enough and concretely enough. And then the financial institution being perhaps the more frontline at the point of sale where there's an education opportunity and what that is. I mean, given these examples, but the intention being that we think we've got the resource available, it's now a question of, and there is a lot of good work being done in making sure that we leverage off the resources better. And not only that, but we're also not doing well enough, which I think the Conduct Authority will play a big role in doing, is how do we take the learnings of what has been implemented to make sure that the other programs that follow are benefiting from the experience as well.
Okay, your question, Mr. Peter.
I think that's not a true decision to really focus on this one. But one of the scientists says, if you can't make it, don't do it. This is that you should direct the committee. They all know exactly what is this education, right? What are the goals of the study and the plans and so on, so that we can, at some intervals later, we can achieve that effect and try to come in and help the process.
Okay, yes, go ahead.
Currently we also do consumer education. And you see a lot of things happening. There's also been a very recent survey done in terms of financial literacy levels. I mean, the very interesting results. And that's on our website. So once you leave our landing page, you'll see you can go to the senior education department where the service etc. is granted. But maybe this is an example of what we do. So if you go to our landing page, there's also a little coin person, which is my money, my life. And that is also, if you go into there, it's just simple things you need to know about when you're saving, any type of policy, different type of policies, etc. And then there's also a lot of work done together with National Treasury, with the Department of Education to actually introduce financial literacy within sort of grade 1 and grade 2, and then as children progress to school. So there's quite a lot happening on that, and our annual report actually has a whole chapter on that. But I think what we like about the new clause is that it actually makes machine education part of our fundamental mandate.
Yeah.
So it will allow us to do quite a bit more. Currently, sort of we you know, we should support other initiatives, and now we have a clear mandate here ourselves. And so we're quite excited about it, but there's also quite a bit being done. So, and I can provide you with more information if you want.
No?
Yes. Sometimes I differ with the FSB on how successful we really are. Because I think, and you know better than some of us have been taught, that education and literacy and so on, you can't do, it's just not one source. There's many ways. There's customer education when you go. There's event at my city, 21, housing bonds, then you learn about bonds. And if you saw in the UK, that people really want the money advice service.
That's where we're at.
Which sort of just gives you genetic type things. So that if you're getting a bond, they've got either through the internet or they've got brochures to give you a kind of kids guide on how to, you know, so you're going to buy a house, that's going to be 15. I think it requires quite a discipline. You need to look at social media, you need to look at all the techniques, and even then, people may, as you said, people may be well educated. One of the victims of the Tenen bombs scam was the CEO of the company. Okay, so there's an element of greed that also enters with us human beings. So it's a complex area, and I think that it is an important topic, important enough, I think, to warrant certainly a dedicated discussion, and it does need to go beyond the contact authority, involve the institutions, involve, like to say, schools, you know, and drop life, frankly. So what we do intend to do is really have the levy. We do want to cover these activities. That's going to be tested.
I think we're on the same page. You see, the thing that struck me when you spoke was in the UK, members of the call went there, they used a lot of internet, right? In our country, it won't happen like that. So a lot of the interaction actually occurs to them. Secondly, they have a call with Clinton. The second thing that struck me was that, if I recall, maybe I'm imagining, maybe it's a wish. Maybe it just happened. I think they also require the bank to also have a certain level of literacy, just like the requirement from there. Does the same apply here? I'm not sure. You know, like a bank are also required to provide a minimum level of literacy. They require to. So, if, for example, I take a loan. So, sort of example, I was using with insurance. In 1995, I had no insurance. Although, the next year, how many years? I really turned out there because TF1 is anything. And I was in a rush. So she said, what does TF mean? And then he sent somebody else to me, and I signed another insurance. What I'm leaving it, right? And then I got into some stress, and I wanted to get the money back. And it became very complicated. So I'm talking about myself, so that master's degree in literature. I mean, in sociology. And an interest in reading, you know, speaking English. African-speaking woman who turned up here. The ASCs had this, I think, sadly was here. Since it was so asked, I find it. But, and then everyone look at it, they just find it. Because they have so what I'm saying is, they, you know, it seems to be there. The banks are required to do these things. I don't know if they do it here.
No. You also need to differentiate between financial advice and financial planning. We have financial planning institutions as well in South Africa. It's not a government institution, but whole group of financial planners, because they often say, you go in and you want to buy a car. Financial advisor might tell you how much to fund the car. Financial planner will tell you you really need a car. Because if you don't have a house yet, and, you know, what's
your
plan, and so on. So, so in South Africa, for financial advisor, you cover the challenges by funds. And that's what gets you intermediaries. And then do they have an incentive to sell you that because they get commissions? So that's where your retail distribution review and so on come in, because there's a lot of conflict that goes advice. So when a bank today, in fact, if you go, they will tell you they don't provide advice. Generally, and before you can buy insurance on the bank as well. So all of these have become regulated. So it depends on whether the person registered to find that cost, the hard exam that we talked about earlier. So all of that comes in. So the bank clubs don't do this.
All right, we'll come back to this, right? But this is an important theme, and we'll pick it up towards the end. We need to monitor this more effectively. The FSB do respect to you, if I recall correctly. We were not so warm last time we were here. With the work you're doing, we know you have limitations, but with the new bill, we have to do this. So, having said that, I think we agree with the village, I mean the court itself. 38.
Yeah, I just want to say, it doesn't look very elegant, actually, in 58.1a. Can you move the subject to the text at hand, so you start more positively with the farmers? Start the subject to the text.
It's not about ages, I suspect, so much respect for emphasis, but fine, whatever it was. Oh, you didn't have to come back
around.
I can manage. What is this going to do? We didn't have minutes here with Antonio and me, I've got some stuff here. But, anyway, fine. So what are we going to do? Move it. But I don't think it's a big deal. Anyway, no problem. No problem. Good. But 58.1, is there any issue there? Now here, in the matrix, 58. Our side is raising.
So you've got a question.
This is quite a big theme, right? It's about how you're going to get coordination between the credit regulator and the conduct authority. It's a really substantive issue. But for what it was, I was not clear here in your class to me. Yeah, last night or whenever I looked at it. But anyway, go for it this year. What's your response in full detail?
Also, just to highlight that there was an additional comment that came through from the speaker on 58.2, that was on the credit.
Oh yeah, on the new the document, yeah.
But returning to the issue that has been raised on the coordination and the OBAN, what we have done effectively in conjunction between the Treasury, the FSB, and the credit regulator, and the DBI, is to be refining the provisions to help make that delineation more clear. So we'll need to look at the new of those provisions, and it's that those provisions supported then by the coordination mechanisms as provided for in the MOU. But I think those initial definitional lines between who's responsible for what is probably coming up.
Okay, response to this. Yes, Mr. Tubman?
Sorry, Mr. Chair, yes, the school through does get a bit bookedly to an extent, but specifically look at this reference to Section 108, which says that items in Section 108, those subject to the MCR are subject to.
Yeah, we've improved the drafting, so we actually have, extremely treasury, we have improved drafting even to post the version that you've got in your book.
I'm not clear.
Yes, so I think we need to deal with all together should be section 2-3, section here is section 2, read together with sections 10, section 108, and those together need to be looked at to check that we've actually got that delineation correct.
Yeah, well, it's hard to see that 108 is a correct reference, but I'm not sure what in 108 is.
Yeah, I was just sort of cross-referencing on something in
the
comments.
Yes,
but also to remind you that this sort of cross-referencing, Antonio and Alan, and then when we do a poll in face speed, full of members of the tree because they're human, right? And they could. And then the entropy will pick it up because this bill is going to 3 or 4 pages in all. We're going to find those trees and otherwise they are going to get them. So,
it's just a question of process. I mean, this is a substantive issue. There's no dispute about that. I mean, could you give us an indication of how you intend in terms of our process to deal with substantive issues?
It's not me. You collectively agreed on the approach. I'll just remind you what we said. What did it say to you? We covered this. It's not a new one. Unless you've got an alternative proposal, I'll wait to see. Unless you want to be reminded. You are here with this. We said once again that we are going through this bill, clause by clause. We started, you remember, for those who were not here once more, by looking at the overall policy issues. Then we said, now we will look at this with the amendments, not deal with all the other stuff. You know. Then we said, the issues that are under 14 things now, there were 8 or 9 identified then, and I put you another 5. Now there's another one that's come up, 6, financial literacy, financial education, 16 teams, in Antonio. All the other issues, I've done a lot of notes, so we'll sit together and do it for you. We'll have up the 16 sort of major policy issues. One of them is the relationship between the credit regulation and the conduct authority and other relevant authorities. We had DTI last week. You'll remember as a young man. Just even longer, I mean, it's implicit when I see people like you and other kind of thing. Look at your age. Now, basically what I'm saying is, we agreed that they will meet and they have 40 days in which to come back. To just tell us whether the instruction says you and so on. So I think 40 days is fine next time. You're supposed to meet, right? Can I finish? So basically what we're saying is, we will then, once we've gone through the bill and got a firmer grasp of the bill and the way different parts relate, and also a holistic view, we will then look at those 14 themes and look at each of them and say, do we need to strengthen the clauses that deal with it? Do we need to add new clauses? Do we need to amend them? And then we will do the follow process where we go through clause by clause. Now, I have said to you, if there's any better method or more effective method you have, suggest it. Not title. This is the way I've done committees since 1998, but it's a new era now. There are new people that pull their mother and so on. Young people. So if somebody young in the sense that is new, maybe they've got new ideas. I'm cool. I really don't care. As long as we do it fast and effectively. And beautiful. Right. Do you have any other proposals?
No, I'm not comfortable with that proposal. I just, in our conversation, to remind you, I have not seen a compelling reason from the NCR or from GTI, either already or in writing, why they should not be included under the second fee. And I'd still like to be persuaded, so perhaps we consider how we fit that into the process.
No, but that is the thing, not because you're asking it. It's because the committee agrees that the issue of synergy between the credit regulator and the other outcomes concerned is a thing. We need to ourselves. Before even this road then is worked on, we're going to finish pulling the house, we agree as soon as the house rises. So basically, it's not because of you. We're doing it because it's necessary, because it's objectively necessary. But we're not opening up whole debates about removing them from this whole thing, and, you know, collapsing it. The departments need to fine-tune the cooperation. And unless the majority now would open that up, that's fine. But otherwise we know that you don't like it, and so on. A lot of people vote on the book. Even if we do what you're doing, you're not going to vote on the book. So, but that's not the reason we're working. So it's neither here nor there. It's not what you're all insisting about. It's one of the things. Some 4 or 5, isn't it? It's very high. You will see that there's a chapter there, I think he's jumping the gun, about cooperation. There's a whole chapter, 5. Now there, you can get a better sense of how it's meant to operate. Until we come to chapter 5, close by tongue, how are you going to really assess whether they're going to cooperate? Unless, no, let the collective discussion. Having said that, can we stop here because there's quite a lot on this law that we need to look at, right? And we won't be able to do it now. And people have their buttons to make their way back to their things. So can I thank everybody for their cooperation and indeed next week's season.
Thank you.
And can I talk about the IRBA? The still one from Friday. That is not my phone, use yours.
Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday we meet on
Yeah,
the program is not just for you, my dear.
No, I just want to make sure
you're important.
How many months?